Colossians 2, verses 6 through 12. This is a meditation, and there's no way I want to be able to cover just how rich this section is. But I find it to be a real encouragement, especially leading up to this Lord's Day and for prayer. So this is God's word to us this morning. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Brothers and sisters, if you were to drop your finger down into the Old Testament prophets, you would likely land on a sermon condemning idolatry. In fact, in Isaiah 46, idolatry easily wins the reward for the most common topic of the prophets. Gold statues, wood carvings, the bowing down to false gods was the sin that literally hobbled Israel for its entire history. Yet this pervasive struggle, if we're honest, it seems hard sometimes for us to connect with it. As modern Americans, we tend to think, well, idolatry is a thing of the past. Sure, it may exist in other parts of the world, like China or India or Ethiopia, but our society, we've moved on, right, to such superstition. And we wonder, how then does the Bible and its condemnation of idolatry apply to us directly? Well, Paul's letter to the Colossians, he wisely diagnoses the poison of idolatry so that we can discern its widespread virus, and it is all around us. As well, he does this. He administers to us the antidote, and that is being built up and established in Christ. So the Colossians are being tempted. They're being tempted to look for spiritual wisdom outside of Christ. There are some that are trying to lure the Colossians away with plausible arguments. We could say it this way, persuasive speech. In fact, if you were to note just a few verses higher in verse 4, Paul says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. This phrase, plausible arguments, refers to the art of persuasive rhetoric. That is, think of the skill of marketing. Someone that could sell shampoo to a bald guy or ice to an Eskimo. This is slick talking that tickles the ears. This is what the false teachers are marshaling in. It is sweet speak. And they're trying to lure the Colossians away from their foundation in Christ. So what's the gist? What's the gist of this rhetoric? Well, it's superior wisdom outside of Christ. Look at verse 8 with me. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. We see a lot of elements here. We don't have time to cover these elements, but essentially these false teachers are trying to sell you a higher spiritual knowledge and a more intense Christian experience. They locate this superior insight outside of Christ. In essence, these false teachers are saying, hey, listen, Christ, He's good and all, but He is just the start. You must climb higher than this. You see, the gospel is just for beginners. You need to learn about angels. You need to learn how to pray to saints and how to experience powerful visions. And then there's this vigorous path towards holiness. Let's not forget about that. That is, you have a particular diet and a certain thing that you should wear. And let's not forget about the calendar. All of these things must be in sync in order for the cosmic powers and spiritual energies to energize you. Fastings and dreams are an avenue of higher wisdom. This is the sales pitch being tossed at the Colossians. And in this world, during this time of deity and demons, these would have been sweet words. This would have been an alluring aroma. Now, times really haven't changed too much. We like to think so. Whether it's in the church or outside in the world, many, many voices try to persuade us to move beyond Christ. It may be a mystical experience, praying to saints or to icons. It tends to be some form of intense obedience or extreme activism. Either way, it is either explicitly stated or just implicitly stressed. And a lot of it is this rhetoric says, hey, listen, this is important. And you need to move beyond Christ because this is what brings true spirituality. These ideas, brothers and sisters, are lethal. They are cunning. This is why Paul says, to look at it, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Your translation may say, be aware or be alert. This is the call to be on guard. This is a call to be vigilant and discerning. It's to be the night watchman. Our eyes must be peeled and our guns at the ready. For these ideologies, these things are sneaky, they're crafty, and worse yet, they're lethal. These thoughts, these teachings, these ideologies, they salivate for your very life, for your soul, for your heart. As he says, Paul, be on guard so that no one takes you captive. This is a violent word. This is a vivid word. This taking captive means to steal something and to carry it off as plunder. Such a person is a raider, a plunderer, a robber. This is the cattle rustler, but better yet, this is the human trafficker. They steal you to enslave you or to sell you off into slavery. This idea of kidnapping really into captivity is a theme that Paul teaches even in the same book back in chapter 1:13. He tells us that we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Once we were enslaved to our sin and to evil. And so, brothers and sisters, this deception wants to steal us back and incarcerate us back into a worldly ideology. Now, why would he use such a violent word for false teaching? Well, it's because of the human traffickers, these false teachers. They wear the costume of this persuasive rhetoric, like I mentioned. This is why Paul prays that we would increase in knowledge and understanding of the truth. Why we would seek wisdom and knowledge only in Christ. All hidden wisdom is found in our Lord. We have no need of visions. We have no need of worldly ideologies in terms of trying to increase in our spiritual walk or maturity. Now, they are struggling and they're being tempted with these false ideas, this church. Paul still is encouraged. He's never been to Colossae, but he's encouraged in their faith that they are firm in Christ. In fact, Paul, he wants to tell them to do something that I find really interesting in our text. And you might find it interesting too. You ready? Don't change. Now that's pretty interesting. Don't change. Note verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. He's saying, hey, to the Colossians, you've been built up in Christ through the ministry of Epaphras, so don't move into another direction. Don't go in another location. The gospel of Christ that Epaphras preached to you saved you. This is the same Christ that you live and breathe and have the way to glory. You cannot add to Christ. You cannot supplement Him with human wisdom. You cannot move beyond Christ. Stay put. So Christ is the path. The path we cannot turn from, and He's the only road that our feet should tread upon. Christ is the way, and there is no other. Now, Paul here will give us a paradoxical image to assist us. Note the order in terms of how he orders us to walk in Christ. This is a verb of movement. Walk in Christ. Now, this is interesting. Walk is a motion. One step after another throughout the journey of life. Keep moving in Christ. But he says our manner of walking, listen to this, is being rooted in Christ. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, this is tree imagery. Our roots must sink deeply into the soil of Christ. But we're not ants, and trees don't walk. Listen, we walk by being rooted. We move by going nowhere. Additionally, we walk by being built up in Christ. Being built up is a building metaphor. Think of an oak tree being planted in Christ, or a building. Our foundation is in Christ. Again, buildings are not known for being movable. And next, he says, we're to be established. That is, we are to be set in the faith. Being established or set means that our faith is firm, it's immovable, it's unchangeable. It's believing in the gospel alone and never changing. And I want to remind you that the faith is not in faith. Faith has an object, and the object is the person and work of Christ. So we walk by being rooted, being built, and being established. We move in Christ by going nowhere. Think of it like this. Our faith is like a treadmill. Plenty of action, but we're not moving. There's no change in location. We know that trees and buildings, they don't move, but they do grow. Trees send their roots deeper. Buildings can and have floors added to them. They can move upward. The point is this. Our walk of faith plumbs deeper into the person and work of Christ for nourishment, for stability against the storms that vie for your very life. We're built on Christ with greater assurity and security. The firmness of our faith never moves from Christ, but it grows in knowledge, in love, and in maturity. Particularly, Paul says here, our rooting established faith is to abound in what? In thanksgiving. The key fruit of faith that Paul highlights here is thanksgiving. We could say it another way, gratitude. We are never to move from Christ, and this should make us grateful. But why would he underscore this particular fruit? There are plenty of other good fruits of faith that we should also be on our branches, but it's this. It's because the seeds planted by this deceptive rhetoric about these false teachers, what does it do? It wants to make you feel discontent. It wants you to make you feel that you need more than just Christ. If Christ isn't all sufficient, that's when Thanksgiving flounders and we go looking for something else. My point is this. The maintaining of our faith should make us ever more grateful for Jesus Christ and His glorious work in us. For the more that we are established in Him, the more we realize just how great we have it. The more we appreciate the beauty of Christ's righteousness, there is no need to undress Him. May Paul's admonition to the Colossians also be true for us. May we be rooted and established, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, through the proclamation of the Word and the other means of grace that He has provided. Our only foundation and sure refuge. May the firmness of our faith increase in knowledge and assurance. May we seek all knowledge and wisdom for Christ's treasures. Brothers and sisters, may we stay vigilant. May we stay alert, seeing to it that we are not taken captive by anything outside of Christ. May we abound more and more in thanksgiving and gratitude for what we already possess in Christ. And my heart is that this would overflow in our worship and in our prayer.